I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics. I am Tristan.
And I am Bob.
And these are the new comic book listings for, I don't know, August something or other? I was going to say Wednesday, August 5th?
Yeah.
How about that?
That's the right date.
Yes. Perfect. Good deal. And again, if this noise gate doesn't work, then you're going to be hearing the hurricane that's outside because it is real loud.
Hear the hurricane.
Okay. Oh my god. It won't be anywhere near as bad as when Chad and I were doing the podcast and his neighbors decided to like race mini bikes around his backyard while shooting off fireworks. Quite literally, it was fireworks and mini bikes. Like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Sure, let's just keep going. It's fine.
I live on a dead end street, so there's no chance of that happening. I mean, I guess there's some chance of it happening.
There's always a chance of mini bikes and fireworks.
Fireworks, maybe. Oh,
yes. Yeah, so there's a bunch of great stuff out this week. I was really stoked.
Yeah.
I read as much as I could. I've been dedicating my time to reading slowly, so I'm not reading as many things now.
Nice.
But I'm actually reading them to enjoy them now again for like the first time in many years since I started doing these for the podcasts, and I'm much happier.
Yeah, it took a good two hours
to read comics today, and I was really happy because I was really excited about X-Men, and I've been trying out Empire, which I thought was kind of going to be a nothing series, and I've been really digging it, and a bunch of the tie-ins are really fun. So,
nice.
We'll talk about some of that stuff. Here's a book that I got shorted by Diamond because Diamond really did a shit job this week. This is like my least favorite Diamond week in a long time.
That's saying something.
But yes, yeah, Silver Sprocket released a book called Yes, I'm Flagging the Queer Hanky Code 101. And it's like literally a book just about the handkerchief placement and all of like from the old school of gay culture, and really cool. I wish we had it. Unfortunately, Diamond didn't get it to me. Luckily, I'm friends with those guys, and I will do an order specifically with Silver Sprocket so I can get those in if you are interested in said book.
Because
they have awesome things.
Yeah, I want to check it out. Sounds cool.
This is the first... Metal Shark Bro is back. Our buddies who did their Kickstarter around the same time as Rad Wraith, they went with Scout and did their full like trade treatment, and now they're on their second volume, and the first issue is out. I think they're going to do the same deal where they do a single issue and then release a big trade right afterwards.
Nice.
So, cool.
So you can get your first issue, and then you can get the whole story in a trade, like binging on Netflix.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it. Let's see. I'm going to skip all of these things, because all of them are stupid. okay, Marvel Action, Captain Marvel, number 6 is out. Continues to be great. It's cute and cartoony and fun. It's exactly what you were looking for if you were looking for a kid's version of Captain Marvel. You know, it's not quite like little kids. It's that little intermittent, like tweeny kind of area. It's pretty great.
The tweeny area.
tweeny area. Agretsuko number 5 is out this week. Anything else good in that area? No, I'm going to skip all those. Those are all bad. That's bad as well. Nope, that's terrible. Okay, I want to discuss this because even though no one's going to buy it, I had to buy it. This is something that really targets people like me who own comic shops. When IDW says, fuck it, we're going to do a My Little Pony Transformers crossover, I can't say I'm not going to buy this book because no one is going to buy it. I have to buy it. And if you feel like being the person to prove me wrong that no one's going to buy this, go for it. But I have the sincere feeling that I'm not going to sell a single copy of this.
Regardless, this is going to be one of those things like Punisher Archie or whatever, yeah, where it's like 10 true. Years from now, someone's going to be like, oh man, remember
how
when?
Was it possible? So yeah.
Like, always keep it a $5 book.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no, it is absolutely something that, that people will lose their mind over at some point in the not too distant future. It's pretty great. I mean, I'm happy they made it. Vault got the Vampire the Masquerade license. And they're putting out a Vampire the Masquerade book. That's a very strange choice. I never really expected Vault to be putting out licensed product, but you know, they make great stuff, and there's a huge following for Vampire the Masquerade, so I'm actually kind of curious to see if it's any good. I did not manage to put that in my stack, but I will probably read that before the week is out. Maybe I'll report back next week. Another thing, there's a bunch of free Comic Book Day things out this week. Well, a bunch. There's Invincible, there's a brand new Tick one, and then there's a manga thing that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, the Tick one looks great.
Yeah, the Tick is, I believe, all new content, and I think it has Thrakazog in it, who is not their character. I think that's a Fox character that they're not allowed to use, and I think they just said fuck it and did it anyway. Wow. So that's cool. Yeah, free Comic Book Day Tick. With all of these things, if you're ordering books from us, just say, hey, I would like to have X free Comic Book Day thing thrown in with my stuff, and I will totally oblige. We have a bunch of the old titles, and if you want me to surprise you, just say so. I can do that as well. DC, Batman Adventures number 3. This is the reprint version of those, not the new version. And Horizon Zero Dawn, based on the video game. Cool.
I don't know a goddamn thing about this.
Star Wars Adventures Clone Wars Battle Tales number 3 is out.
Looked all right. I flipped through it. Cool. You're a Star Wars fan.
Pretty violent. People are still buying that one. All right. And here we go. All right. Oh, sorry. I don't mean to skip Heathen 12. Heathen is a great series and people love it. And again, another great Vault comic. Great stuff. But most importantly, Alien, the original screenplay number 1 is out this week. It has been delayed for 4 months now. I think it was supposed to come out on Alien Day, so, you know, LB 427, so sometime around there. And man, it's good. It's so far it's pretty by the numbers. Like, you're pretty much seeing the same story that you saw before. But the little changes are cool. And I'm really enjoying some of the little nuanced changes that they've got in there. Some of the things that they changed are really, like, of course, they had a really shitty name for the ship. It was called the Snark. And it was like, I'm glad you changed the name from Snark. That was terrible. Yeah. That's like a fifth season magical character added to a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. No, we don't need Snark.
Spot on. That's exactly what that
so,
is.
So, don't need that. Nostromo, way better. And there's some really cool design elements that they've changed. This first issue only gets us out of hypersleep and to the planet. And they've landed on the planet, but they have yet to leave. They've seen the pilot on the screen, and that's about it. And we see the difference in the pilot, which is spoiled on the cover, so it's not that exciting. But it is a very cool design.
I actually, for some reason, didn't notice that book. So I got to make sure I grab one.
Because it is pitch black. The cover is like, blends in with our bookcase. So
that's probably it.
Yes, G.I. Joe, Real American Hero 273 is out. King of Nowhere number 4. Usagi Yojimbo, unfortunately, was one of our casualties from Diamond, and it is crushed to a fucking pulp.
Jesus.
So, unfortunately, I don't even know if that was something they could have done, but it was in a box that, like, half the box was crushed. So apparently they did it. Ooh, Diamond Comics. It's making them look real bad because UCS keeps shipping stuff in really nice shape. Like these boxes from UCS this week were beautiful. Like everything was pristine.
Now, so, is this just DC books?
UCS is just DC.
Yeah, I would say the DC books looked really good. So yeah, that is unfortunate.
They're actually shipping things in better condition than Diamond is.
Yeah. Diamond's always had that kind of an issue, so.
I mean, they definitely cheap out. And they fire people seemingly for nothing. Like, I went through so many reps. Like, there was a time, there was like 1 year when I had like six different reps in a single year.
What?
And I'm like, they take 2 months to train these people and then fire them. Like, it just doesn't seem like that's a great idea.
I mean, my thing is just like the Damage books, like as a, like, you know, I've been going into the store for the podcast for years now, and I worked in a store for a long time. It's not like I'm a stranger to Diamond, and like you always had Damage stuff. So seeing that there's a, like, I don't know, I picked up a fair amount of DC books this week, and they're all like immaculate.
We had Damages from UCS, but they were like, they were kind of few and far between. It's interesting. It's, I don't know. I should be knocking on wood or something because I'm going to get a box that's like, yeah, exactly. I'm comparing this for 2 months of service.
Yeah, it's a small, too small a sample size.
Too small a sample size. Once they start getting used to it, once they start getting complacent, we'll start getting the like spilled coffee all over the,
Dude, it's the coffee stained variant.
Oh, fair. Speaking of coffee stained variants, the Dreaming Waking Hours number one is out this week.
Oh,
that kind of ties in, right? Because you wake up with coffee.
I was dreaming, and then I knocked over this coffee. Just
dreaming of a knocked over coffee. Yes, this is weirdly, this is a speculator book for the Sandman universe. Because there is an introduction of a new character in this one, and they, you know, Sandman doesn't tend to do that. They tend to kind of pull from the same old Neil Gaiman pool, and it's like just these guys. This is a dream creation. I don't know what you call it. Dream basically births these entities. He has made this thing called Ruin that every time he shows up anywhere, he literally ruins everything around him. So.
Probably on the nose.
I was thinking, man, maybe, yeah, maybe like another 2 seconds to think about a name for that guy, but no, that's cool.
Anyway, new character in the Sandman universe.
New character in the Sandman universe, and I love the Dreaming, so.
Yeah. Those books are quality books. I like that Hellblazer book.
Yeah, Hellblazer, absolutely quality. Coffin Bound number 5. Another book that I absolutely love. Great stuff. Can't say enough about this. It is it's honestly like the best Clive Barker comic I've ever read.
Wow.
And it's not by Clive Barker. Oh. Like that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like,
it's a comic made by someone who grew up with Clive Barker.
Yes.
And brings it.
Somebody who managed to take Clive Barker stuff and synthesize it in such a way that it actually translated to comics better than a lot of the stuff that Clive Barker does translate. And I love Clive Barker. So
you don't knock Clive Barker's Spookyverse or whatever that line of comics he did.
Oh my God, the Ecto...
Ecto Kid.
There was Ecto Kid, and yeah. Those hold a very, very special place in my heart.
If I found a copy of one of those, I would absolutely pick it up, and I would absolutely read it.
I loved them, and they were from a period in my life when I was so poor that I would only buy quarter comics.
Yeah.
The idea of paying more than like $1 for 5 comics was insane to me. And so I wound up with a lot of those from going to flea markets and picking up Clive Barker's Hyperverse.
Something like
was
that.
Was it the Hyperverse? It was something like that. And so I read some very bad comics, but they were also very fun, So
yeah, I think I was not ready for embracing something on that level at that time for whatever reason. I was pretty because stuck in was, my Hellboy verse or whatever I was into. Because a lot of us
hated what the 90s were. And yeah. This was a thing that was so of the 90s. It is about as 90s as you get. Everything about it was just neon puke colors. Everything was swirly and crazy and overly buff and twinkly and sharp and like just... It was 90s.
Yeah. Yep. I feel actually sort of similar about Milestone, where I would also like, I wish I had picked up more of those books. Although I think Milestone is a bit more, I mean, I don't know. I can't compare them because I haven't read them.
It's interesting. Yeah. You were mentioning that before, and I'm like, I wish I could find more Milestone books.
They're hard. Like people scarf them up. I was on eBay and I saw, I don't want to waste a lot of time trying to remember the name. Because
there's Blood something.
Blood Syndicate. That was it. Okay, it was the first three issues of Blood Syndicate, and it was cheap. And it was like the only listing for any Milestone books that I saw that was cheap. And it was the first three issues, and I was like, cool. And I like bid on it, and it was just like, everything was good. And then it was just like, in the last like 10 minutes of the auction, it just like, I was like, nope, sorry, too rich for my blood. Yeah. Like immediately. But like people are literally on eBay. Like, stalking those, like if you find Milestone books, get them.
It makes sense. I mean, it is definitely. I mean, it's a universe that was ahead of its time in a lot of ways. Aside from just the representation, it was also very clever. You know,
well, it's all Dwayne McDuffie stuff. And,
stuff is like, great. You know,
it's just like it's really good. Like it was structurally really good. Like I don't know. I think I missed the boat on a lot of those. Although I did
read Static at the time.
I think that was the one everyone read.
Yep.
Yeah, I did.
Yep. And Static also, there was another one. I read Static and one other one. The guy that had the weird thing on his face, the half blue mask, wasn't even it was like his face was painted like blue on one side. He was one of the Milestone guys.
Yeah, I don't know if I remember.
Had such 90s names because they all had blood or something else in their name. So
I always just followed artists, and I really liked Jean-Paul Leon. And he was the Static artist, so that's the one I read.
Yeah. Yes.
That guy's great.
Absolutely.
He's still great.
He is still great, and he's still super active doing stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He did something that I read like last week that was like awesome. I can't remember what it was like. Sorry, we should probably remember those things.
Yeah, I know. You know, there was something that I remember that I don't remember.
Something everybody wants to hear. Someone might be interested in, but I can't remember what it's called. So,
anyway. Well, I will tell you one thing that people are excited about, and that is Money Shot number 7.
Yeah, I got that. I like that book.
Yep. And we are promised that they are returning to more alien sex in this issue. So
is fulfilled. There's a new cast member who is a kind of Minotaur character. I mean, there's only a little bit of Minotaur sex in it. Alien Minotaur sex. But there does promise.
You should really qualify that. You're offending a lot of our Minotaur listeners.
Right. Well, there's an alien Minotaur, and then there's an alien non-Minotaur with a tail, and then there's an elephant alien. I don't know. It's just, it's funny. Like, and it's a great book, and it's a new arc, and I'm glad that it's continuing on and that it's popular because it's hilarious, and I love everyone involved with this book. I think Money Shot is great, and I could recommend it more, but I'm going to choose not to. Just recommending it exactly this much.
Perfect. As long as it's the exact amount that it needs to be recommended.
Yeah, exactly.
And another book that I recommend that not a lot of people are as stoked as I am on is Avengers of the Wasteland.
Ooh,
I think
great
this book,
book
is wonderful. It's it's everything that I enjoy about the Old Man Logan universe combined with everything I enjoy about books like Young Justice or Young Avengers. It feels like a hybridization of those kind of feelings, where it's not the Old Man Logan universe tends to go for the most offensive possible version of whatever could happen. You know, if it's going to be Hulks, it's going to be, oh, they're all mutants because, you know,
they're inbred.
Yeah, they're all inbred and whatever. This is more a, I don't know, it feels like Young Justice. It has that kind of like,
yeah, no, it's fun, great. The
fun team dynamic that is less about just being over the top, which Old Man Logan nailed perfectly, but you know, you can't do that forever. And I really like the idea of this as an ongoing story that's not just about the depressing nature of the end of the world.
Yeah. I would actually also pitch it to people who read Young Avengers. Like, there was like a couple different versions of Young Avengers, but one in particular was the Jamie McKelvey, I think.
Yes.
That version that had those, I don't know, it just kind of feels sort of similar to that.
Jamie McKelvey was the Lady artist, Hawkeye. Maybe?
Yeah, yeah. It was the more recent one.
Yeah, that one was good. Was like I really enjoyed that one too. Patriots, that lineup.
Yeah. Avengers of the Wasteland is cool, and I actually couldn't remember if I bought it or not because it's been too long since an issue came out. So I'm gonna have to go back and get that one because I think I have all the other.
It's been a while. Yes. So Firepower is out this week.
Two issues.
Because technically issue one is, I believe, maybe not exactly the same issue as the Free Comic Book Day one, but...
I did think it felt familiar.
But a similar issue to the Free Comic Book Day one, if not the exact same thing.
It certainly ended the same way.
Right, yeah. And Firepower number two is out as well. I'm interested to see what people think about this. This is certainly... This is definitely his Iron Fist. There's no way around it. It is basically if Invincible was Superman, then this is his take on Iron Fist. And I like it. I've enjoyed so far pretty much everything I've read. I liked the precursor, the giant trade worth of issue that led up to it. I've liked this series, but The reason he released that in trade is because you don't need to read it. Because you've seen Doctor Strange. You've watched Iron Fist. You've seen like all of these things that... You've seen Batman Begins. It's the same story. It's an Orientalism story that you would think he would not have done.
Because
it's 2020 and those stories are weird. And I don't... And they are frowned upon, and I feel like he's smart enough to know that, and that's why I keep giving this thing a shot, because I'm like, he knows what he's doing, and I'm trusting him to pull this thing through. That's my feeling.
I mean, I'm on board because Chris Samnee is drawing it. Like,
that's the other thing. Is like, Chris Samnee
I could care
amazing.
Less about, like, and I shouldn't say I could care less about the story. Like, it does need to be a good story for me to continue purchasing it. I'm not going to buy 100 issues of something just because one person that I like drew it, but you know, you got to give the first arc
right.
some play and see where it's going. And I guess I do hear what you're saying as far as like the kind of clichédness of it, but also one thing that I think you can count on Kirkman for doing is kind of like paving a certain road until you're used to it. And then like, deciding, you know,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Could happen with it. So right now,
the way that he did Invincible, I feel like you can kind of assume that it's going to go down a similar route to where you're like, oh, it's this Silver Age concept of, you know, this superhero thing that you've seen 1,000 times, and then when it breaks free from that, all hell breaks loose, and that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah,
when all hell breaks loose, I'd be
very surprised if it did not. I think there's very little chance that it's just going to stay doing what it's doing now.
Yeah. All right, Strike Force number 9 continues to be released for some reason.
People love it.
Know, of course they do. It's amazing, but I'm just shocked that they can't. Like, this is the kind of book that gets canceled. This is the kind of book that Marvel does not do. Like, they lined up a group of really fun characters in, you know, this is like all the characters that get their series canceled, and you just jam them all together in a loser's club of monster characters with also the whatever her name is, the angel.
Angela.
Yes. So she's in it. And talk to Neil Gaiman.
And, no, I don't want to. He doesn't yes, need to do. Know that I think Angela is a stupid name. If he doesn't realize it himself. I mean, I'm betting the fact that, like, he's just like, yeah, sure, Marvel. You can own this character. I don't care what you do with it. He loves it that much.
Celestial Messiah, number one. Lords of Empire. This is a book that no one's going to buy, so whatever. Unless you really love Empire that much. It is a tie-in that no one asked for.
Is it a tie-in starring Mantis?
It really should be.
Yeah, it isn't.
I mean, it is actually starring Mantis.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But it, sounds, but it's about Mantis-y. It's about her. It's about her son.
Oh, yeah. I noticed he was in the Empire book, and also that they redesigned Mantis's look, and it's pretty cool actually.
It is
Valerio Schiti or whatever. That guy does a good character design.
Yeah, yeah. Some crazy shit happens in Empire this week. Batman, The Adventure Continues, number three.
I like it a lot. I love it. It's good.
I love the fact that even though it is like an excuse to make action figures, it's awesome. Like, I love it when something like this goes accidentally really right, and that's what this kind of did.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Paul Dini and Alan Burnett, the writers and the showrunners of Batman the Animated Series, like, put together a good story. It has all the classic, kind of, like, classic 70s Bronze Age, like, Batman story things, but then it's just, like, you know, it throws the modern shit into it, like Deathstroke and Red Hood and whatnot. Ty Templeton's on the art, so it has, like, a really great feel. It's not, you know, Mike Parobek, but I mean, he died, but he's awesome, you know, like, it's just a quality book, and if you appreciate, like, a good Bronze Age Batman comic, like, you're not going to get closer to it than this.
Nice.
You know, it's just stylish and fun, and I like it. I wish it was ongoing and not just a miniseries.
Sweet. Ice Cream Man. Number 20 is out this week. This might be my least favorite issue of Ice Cream Man so far.
Would you say that you were not satisfied with the Ice Cream Man? Wait. You saw what I was going for.
All of his flavors were not guaranteed to satisfy this week.
Exactly.
That's where you were going with that.
Yeah, that's
right. Yes. It's still good. It felt a little... this is the most on the nose, I think, Ice Cream Man has ever been. This is the most
that's not good.
Direct. Like, every other Ice Cream Man story so far has been something clever and out there. And this, they literally have Ice Cream Man and his little ice cream kids he's reading his Ice Cream Kids bedtime story, and it's four different parodies of classic bedtime stories. It's Goodnight Moon, The Giving Tree, some Dr. Seuss thing, or Green Eggs and Ham. And all of them are just so on the nose. They're like, I'm turning this evil. And it's like, I guess it's just not as clever as it usually is. It's still good. And it's still a fun concept, and the run through the connective tissue story of the kids and the ice cream man through the issue is very clever and fun, but the stories that are the interstitial stories are not as good as I wanted them to be. It felt like It just felt like the angry kid in the back of a classroom writing them. Like it was the Green Eggs and Ham one was like it was called I Will Not Smoke Weed Laced with Coke, I think was what the thing is. And it was like the through line was I do not like weed laced with Coke, and it kept going through until the guy at the end was addicted to cocaine.
Nice. I know a person who I shall not name who one time was at a party and someone handed him a joint, and someone, the person described it to me as like in slow motion as I was drawing a hit off of the joint, someone was like, no! And it turned out the joint was laced with PCP. And they had one night.
What a delight.
What a nice thing to just surprise someone with.
Yep.
I'll tell you who it was sometime. It's pretty
Don't funny. Worry, I already know who it is.
Of course you do. Nice.
So, Doctor Strange number 6 is out. This story. I've loved this reinvention being more of the She-Hulk story, the like, you know, it's more about his profession than it is about his crazy superhero life, and that everything starts with being a surgeon and goes outward from there. I think that's a great way to ground the story, and I've loved this version. Even though it has started to get more and more superhero-y as it goes on, it does still ground itself in like, I've got to cut this demon out of this guy's brain, so I'm going to have to go into the, you know, into his mind, and I'm going to fight a dragon and whatever. I like that stuff.
I happened to read a bunch of Silver Age like reproduction issues of Doctor Strange, Ditko, and Stan Lee. And I read this one where they never told you the name of the villain in the entire thing. He like goes and there's these two demon sisters, and one of them has a name, and one of them just never gets a name. And it bothered me. I was just like, you never even gave her, like, she doesn't, who is it? Who is she? She's on the cover. She's on the back cover. She's in the comic. No name.
No name.
Whatever.
So cruel.
Sounds like Mark Waid is putting more effort into it. That's
good. Yes, a lot more. Far Sector, number 7.
Oh, love it.
Yeah,
gorgeous. This book is absolutely stunningly illustrated. It is so awesome.
If you were hoping that Far Sector would go in more of a Macross direction, you're in luck this week.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Not what I thought was going to happen, but.
Even in a like a MC Escher, you know, like just like, and in a way that's like clear and easy to follow. Like, I love this book so much. It's a procedural police drama on an alien world starring a Green Lantern who may or may not ever appear outside of the series. Although if they don't use her, they're stupid.
They're insane.
My two favorite Green Lanterns right now are definitely Joe Mullen and Jessica Cruz. Like,
yes.
I mean, I love John Stewart too. He's actually, we'll talk about Justice League eventually, and he's just, you know, it's nice to see him running around doing his thing. But like characterization wise, like Justice League Odyssey and Far Sector, like that's all. Yep. I mean, I love the Grant Morrison thing, but it could be any Green Lantern in that. Like,
I agree. I
don't care that's Hal Jordan.
And I feel like with this, I think this would be one that DC would be, I don't know, I think they would be smart to not do anything with her after this for a year and just be like, boom. It shows up. Like, she would be one of those great characters that, like, just as a reveal for an issue would be awesome. Definitely. If you're just, like, not, like, you've totally forgotten about the series. I think it is a 12-issue, right? They're doing the 12-issue thing.
Yeah, this is number 7. There's a few more issues. I would say I had an idea. I had a thought. Oh, yeah. So I read like some dumb Bleeding Cool article months ago when I was still reading Bleeding Cool that said that like they were speculating on what 5G was going to be. And they were saying that Joe Mullen was going to be Green Lantern. And like that is the only thing that makes me sad that 5G isn't going to happen. Because I think that would have been wicked cool. but whatever.
Maybe I'm the only person who was excited about 5G, but
there were aspects of it I think could have been cool.
I mean, I think obviously the thing that I was not excited about was the fact that AT&T purchased the company and then they named it after their fucking their cell phone coverage.
Well, they don't own AT&T. Felt corporate. Own 5G.
Yeah, but seriously, it doesn't that feel like gross corporate synergy?
It definitely.
I mean,
does, yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, but I like the idea now that 5G has given everyone COVID, we know that they can't call it that because just the name will give us all COVID.
People will think they'll get COVID from reading the comics.
From reading the comic book.
The true, because they're spreading the COVID through the comic book ink. That's how it's being, that's how it's happening.
But if that was the dumbest thing that real people were thinking out there in the world, that would be wonderful. But unfortunately, it is not the dumbest thing.
It's actually has logical, there's a logical narrative to it, so it's not. I would say 5G on one surface, like I like the idea of like a modern silver age treatment
that's what stuff. I want.
You know, that would the be world fine needs. With me. The problem with 5G was not that I didn't want that to happen. The problem was that it would have happened and it would have been like Brett Booth. And I'd be like, I don't know. Like, here, Matt Fraction is going to do, Adam Strange or something or whatever, like, you know, just like some new version of Batman or whatever. Like, if it just like someone that I'm excited about, you know, and it doesn't have to, you know, it could be anything, and I'm not going to waste the podcast listing names, but if it was like top tier, like dreamers, I think it would have been awesome. But if it was just Joe Average, it's like, then it would be.
And that's why it fell apart, was because they couldn't get enough traction with the top tier talent.
Yeah, that's why New 52 failed.
And also, I mean, I think they had the same feeling where it was like, it felt like weird corporate synergy. It's like, we've been taken over by the Gillette Corporation. Well, here's our new Mach 5 series. Like, oh, fuck you.
But, yeah. All right. Well, we still got some good comics to talk about.
McRib presents McRib the Justice presents League.
Ronald McSpider-Man.
We have some great things. One of them is not Black Cat number 12, but Black Cat number 12 is out.
Yeah,
sorry if you like that story. And I could care less about the character or what's going on in it, but I'm sure
it could still be good.
It could be. It is entirely possible. But what is good, and I am so psyched about, is Empire X-Men number 2. Love this tie-in. It is the most fun X-Men thing going. It is just a feel-good romp of nonsense. This is the best way they could have tied all this shit together for some sort of stupid X-Men tie-in. I'm going to spoil the first issue here, but essentially they all, you know, you've got a small team who are out on an island and they're like, blah, blah, blah. Oh shit, there's some Krakoans coming out. Magic goes, I'm feeling real sad about all the things that I did. I should probably bring back all those mutants that I killed. And she casts a spell and brings back every Genosian mutant. And they all come back as zombies and fight the fucking plant people. So so you just have an island of dead mutants fighting all of these Kawati, and it's really good, and it's like, it's Hickman good. So it's not only is it a big, silly, dumb story, it's a big, silly, dumb story with very clever narrative elements and plot points that lead, that add to everything. And it's a great magic story. She has always been a character that I want to love, but she's so overpowered that it's hard for anyone to write her because she literally can do anything. She is one of those...
Wait, are you talking about Scarlet Witch?
No, I'm talking about magic.
Magic, okay.
Scarlet Witch basically just shows up, does her thing, and then leaves. She, like, pieces out right after she brings all the mutants back from the dead.
Okay.
The team that's on the island is Magic, Polaris, I can't remember who else, but by the end of this issue, the team gets considerably more awesome. There's a final splash of the reinforcements that show up, and it is awesome. Wow. It is exactly the team that you would want to read. And it's fucking great.
And now I wish I had checked it out.
Yeah, it is really the most fun X-Men book that I've read in forever.
So nice.
I highly recommend it. And I love the X-Men. Giant-sized X-Men Phantomex. So we have a Phantomex only story, and it was not what I was expecting.
Well, he hasn't been involved in the storyline yet.
He's been dead for a while.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
But nobody's dead anymore because they're all being resurrected by Krakoa. So he's back. But yeah, he definitely did die in the old series and was gone.
Well, he died and then he was, then Professor X lived inside his body or something?
Yes, I believe that is correct. That was a complicated X-Men thing that, like all X-Men things, was too complicated for me to really follow. Like the whole Zorn Magneto thing. Oh. There was never a Zorn, but yet Zorn had a sister. What the fuck's going on?
I mean, so that's just stuff
you didn't
that happens
exist.
Someone comes along and, like, you know, someone writes a story that has some kind of finality to it, and then someone has to undo right. that finality. So then right. you end up with these convoluted, like, clones of sisters, yep. of cousins, of whatever.
Correct. Yeah,
and
it's but
never
this,
makes sense.
Of
and then
all
you just
the
pretend.
Of all the people you thought were going to be teaming up with Phantomex, probably the last choice would have been the Howling Commandos. But guess what? It is a Phantomex Howling Commandos team up. They go back into his weird, whatever they called it. What was the, he had a name for the world that he was raised in.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what the name is, but they back in there and they just start shooting people. So.
So like Dum Dum Dugan and those guys, Howling Commandos?
Yes, those
Not
Howling
like
Commandos.
The rebranded Howling Commandos that was like a werewolf.
Oh man, I wish it was the monster version, but no, it is the regular soldier version the Howling Commandos. Yeah, weird choice. And now, and here is the big book of the week that that is out. That would be the Dark Knights Death Metal Legends of the Dark Knights number 1. Okay, so if you are a normal comic subscriber, you will notice that this is not on our website. That is because it is a $20 speculator issue, and if I put it on the website, it is going to get wiped out. I got enough that it would cover, I didn't know that this was going to be a thing. I got enough to cover all of my subscribers to, sorry, we don't have subscribers anymore, to everyone who has purchased Death Metal previously. So if you are a person who comes into the store and normally gets Death Metal, don't worry, I've got you covered. Other than that, I'm not just going to throw these out to the wolves because that's just silly. And so there you go. But this is the first appearance of the Robin King.
It's the first appearance of a lot of guys. There's a first appearance of a Judge Death Batman.
Well, I mean, there was a Judge Death Batman already.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Like one that looks just like Judge Death with Batman ears?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
Yeah, I think he was one of the original, whatever they called them, Dark Knights, I guess?
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe.
When they did the original, there was the Green Lantern analog, there was the...
Yeah,
the,
no, and I actually read a fair amount of those recently. This one I haven't seen before. I don't think it's supposed to be...
Oh, all right. So there's a new one.
Nah, but maybe, I don't know. There's like, there's the bad dinosaurs.
But don't worry, there's a Batman who's also a T-Rex. So
yes. Anyway, I cut you off in the middle of you talking.
Oh, and also, if you, the other thing about this issue, I do have a whole mess of second printings coming in too as well. So if you do wind up missing this, if we don't have enough for everybody, I am going to have second printings coming in. That's all. And this is the one that they, is this the one that Warren Ellis was supposed to be in and then they cut him from because
he's not in it. Yeah.
Yep.
But so the deal of the Robin King is actually pretty crazy.
Awesome. I
wish
you
read the story.
This.
There's a twist on the origin of Batman, that is actually kind of cool. I mean, awesome. I don't know. I don't hate it. And it's drawn by Riley Rossmo. So like, And I don't know. Yeah. I like it. Also, you've got Daniel Warren Johnson in here. You got Francesco Francavilla in here. It's a good issue. It's a good. I don't hate. It's weird because like I had so many like weird issues with Dark Knight with Metal. Like I didn't think it read well. I thought it was kind of like conceptually like better than it was actually in actuality. Right. I think Death Metal is actually much more fun. And now that we've transitioned from Batman Who Laughs to Darkest Night, I still think both names are bad, but at least the new name is not quite as bad. That said, if you're an Alan Moore Watchmen purist, this is not the book for you. you will just get mad within you will like get three pages angry. Of reading this book.
Be very, very angry.
Don't bother yourself.
Yeah. Deceased is out as well. Deceased Dead Planet number 2.
Did you read this?
I have not read it, but I loved the first issue.
Holy shit.
It's been this so good.
This is the best book I read this week. I will say, as a fan of Roy Harper / Arsenal, he got killed in Heroes in Crisis. They brought him back in alternate dimensions twice, and he gets killed immediately. As soon as just like they just love killing this guy.
Yeah, they
I don't
do.
Know what the deal is.
They
I'm sorry
love
to spoil
killing
that,
him.
That one thing, but honestly, that's like
but you're
page
not
three.
Wrong. They do love fucking
they
killing.
Love
him.
Killing him. On page 3, he gets whacked again. But you know, he's not the only one who gets whacked in this issue. This is fucking awesome. Awesome, awesome Swamp Thing, awesome Hellblazer, awesome magical characters, including Detective Chimp, awesome like new trinity of like the new versions of whoever. There's like Harley Quinn is like, you know, because it's in the future, like she's like now like the doctor, and she's got like doctor spectacles, and she's kind of got this old lady vibe. This like really works.
Awesome.
Yeah, like it's just... Like, and then there is a thing that happens at the end that Tristan, like, you will be like, holy fuck, that is like the coolest thing.
Damn it. It's in my stack of books that I was hoping to read before this. So
yeah,
I will read it right afterwards.
I would say it's somewhere about 3 pages from the end, and it's like a full double, it's not a full double page spread because there's panels that of people just being eviscerated, but in between that
I appreciate that too.
It's just a character you haven't seen in the Deceased universe. It's just so okay. Good. Tom Taylor is awesome. So good. Trevor Harrison on the art, the colors are great. I love this book. Love it.
Sweet.
And I'm not a huge zombie fan, but I love that book.
Young Justice 17
also good
is out. Guardians of the Galaxy number 5 is out. Also very good. Undiscovered Country number 7. Empire number 4. Okay. So this is... I have started to really feel this book. This is... It's hit its stride for me. I went back and I read the Fantastic Four tie-ins and I loved them. I'm really, really liking this series. And this issue, we have one of the crazier things that happens and we start realizing that there's a... Oh, it's going to be a big spoiler, but we have lost a character who is definitely dead. There is an Avenger that is no longer with us, but they have been with them the whole time, and plants have been growing on their insides and puppeting them around. So we have a Skrull situation with plants
where
they can just hollow you out and live inside you and walk you around like a little marionette.
Oh, wow.
And that is what goes on in this issue, and it is the reveal of the death of an Avenger, but not the death of the Avenger that must have happened some other time prior to this.
Wow.
It's a big spoiler, but I think it's important. And we also have this thing where they're trying to keep them from planting this thing in the vibranium stockpile of Wakanda because they're going to grow it as though it were plants, and it's going to add to these to the lead plant person's already growing power. They don't want them to do that, and so the Kree Skrulls, basically Hulkling is like, cool, well, we'll blow up the sun. And and everybody's like, ha, but you're Hulkling, and you're like, cool, so like you're obviously not gonna do that. And like, nope, that's it. And Captain Marvel scans him with the universal weapon and is like, you sure that that's really you? Oh, it totally is. Oh, shit. And you are totally going to do this. And so they have the, so things are bad. And they and Hulkling is being a douche.
But there was also like a really cool moment towards the end that I thought was kind of like a big character moment for that character and other characters.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I think, like, I don't want to say too much about it, but like, I thought that, like, story wise, narrative wise, that's it's kind of a big deal.
It is. You're right. I agree. I think this is going to be, I mean, it's nice to say that I think that we're far enough that it's no longer as much of a big deal as it was the first time we saw it in comics.
Not on that level is even what I'm talking about. Like, it's, and I mean, we're kind of giving it all away, but like that, just that it's like this moment that occurred that seems like a big deal character-wise for those characters, yep. People who follow them.
Yep. Fair enough. Yes. And again, it's something that has that happened in the past that we're just now learning about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something that they're like, oh yeah, by the way, this has already happened. So Star Wars number 5 is out. Strange Adventures number 4 is out.
That was good.
Amazing.
Yeah. This is, I just basically want them to do a Mr. Terrific comic now.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
he is so like, oh my God. There's so many moments you can't even like pick one of the best ones out, but like it's just great. Strange Adventures is great.
Yep. And Captain America 21, Sex Criminals number 30 is the last issue of Sex Criminals ever. With the exception of another issue of Sex Criminals.
That's coming next.
There's going to be a one-shot that comes out at the end, but this is the end of the ongoing story. There is a Sexual Gary one-shot coming out next month. But other than the Sexual Gary one-shot, Sex Criminals is done.
Interesting. Sexual Gary only gets one shot? You'd think with a name like Sexual Gary, he'd be good for that.
He only needs one shot. That's the
deal. That's a good take.
Fantastic Four number 22, Justice League number 50.
Pretty good. Pretty good issue. Justice League number 50. I hope Spurrier is staying on because I dig it. It's like Justice League Unlimited, but or Justice League the animated show.
Yeah.
But with the modern takes of them in the DC universe. It's good.
Agree. Batman number 96 is out this week. And that is the debut of Mr. Freeze's children, who are not called the Icy Tots, but I don't know what the fuck is wrong with everybody. Why am I not writing Batman? Anyway.
We should do a pitch, man.
I have a pitch, but I don't want to give it to Batman. I already had a story that I was like, man, that would make a great Batman story. And then I was like, oh, shit, no, I should just do that as my own thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to give that to Batman.
I mean, here, the thing about that I would say about Mr. Freeze's kids, though, is that I don't think it's a real first appearance, but it is fun.
It is.
The art is actually, for a lot of this, is actually pretty good. I think there might be, oh no, it's all one artist. Jimenez, he's good.
He is real good.
But there's the first appearance of that guy, another new Joker ancillary character.
The Clown Hunter.
The Clown Hunter. Hunter, yeah. Who's basically like a teenage mohawked boy with a weird mask and a baseball bat.
And speculation that he might be another Joker? I don't know. That's one of the things that's going around on the internet.
I do enjoy that his baseball bat has a batarang like stuck in the end of it. It's got like spikes on it. I don't know, whatever. I did decide to kind of go in on the Joker war just because, but it's pretty much a by the numbers.
It has, Batman. It is, but Batman's been around for so long. What the fuck else are you gonna get?
Well, we were talking about like that Grant Morrison issue where it's like the first issue of the Grant Morrison run, the first thing he does is shoot the Joker in the face and take him off the board like immediately. And I think the way it is now is that the Joker, there's an ad actually in the, I love
now the Joker is immortal, so it doesn't matter.
Well, okay, but like the Joker's popularity is such at a such a high that like they did an ad for social distancing stuff, whatever. They've been doing these great ads for social distancing and whatnot. The one in the new Batman is like 100% like target on Trump, like crazy political. I was very, very surprised by it. Like, I love it, but like couldn't believe they actually had the balls to do it. Like, there's a panel, so it's six panels, and one of them has Batman carrying delivery pizzas, which is great. And then the there's like another one where it's Wonder Woman with the lasso of truth, and she's holding someone with it off panel. You can't see, and the word bubble is coming from that guy. It's like, they told me in January, it's not the flu. Fauci is right. Stay home. Like, this whole thing of just like, she's forcing him to tell the truth about. But the reason I even bring up the ad is that there's a panel of the Joker telling people to wear masks. And I'm like, it's the Joker. Like, he kills thousands of people. Why would he tell people to wear a mask? Clearly the funnier panel would be having him say, don't wear a mask. But that said, the Joker is clearly more popular than Batman at this point. And so we're going to have Batman and Joker comics forever.
So weird. It's so weird.
Sorry
to
rant.
So weird. No. Oh my God. So that's all we got this week.
You forgot one for
normal books. Oh, what?
You forgot one.
Which one did I forget?
You forgot a very, very good comic. It's called Ant-Man number 4.
Oh shit! Did we forget Ant-Man?
I missed it. Ant-Man number 4 is the fourth of five, and he fights the giant ant thing that is kind of like the swarm, but for other bugs.
The ant swarm, yeah.
I'm going to say this about Zeb Wells.
Yes.
You are a good writer if you can make me give a shit about a fucking ant, which he does in this comic very effectively. And the art by Dylan Burnett is great, and I love it.
By the end of that first issue, you were like, oh no, what's going to happen to those bees?
Oh my God, yeah. And then now
you were like, oh fuck. Something terrible is going to happen to those bees, and I need to know what happens.
But the first four pages of this comic with Pam the Ant is like the saddest thing I've read in a, whatever. I'm overstating, but it's an emotional beat.
It is.
But the character that you're giving a shit about is literally a fucking ant. I've killed, this week alone, at least 150 ants with my feet. Yep. And now I'm kind of like, oh, did I kill Pam?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I did.
Absolutely killed Pam. Son of a bitch.
Pam needed to get the fuck out of my house. But
that's true. Pam does not need to be in your house. That is.
But that said, Zeb Wells is great. Dylan Burnett is a great artist. And the Ant-Man series has been awesome. And I'm sad it's a mini and not an ongoing.
Yeah, me too. It is by far the best version of Ant-Man since Unforgivable or whatever that one was. Irredeemable.
So, hey, man, I like this better. I think this comic,
I actually do like it better too, but they are definitely apples and oranges.
Right.
Because this is actually trying to make Ant-Man into a Marvel superhero, where Irredeemable was trying to explain why he sucks so much as a Marvel superhero.
Irredeemable was a completely different character.
Right, exactly.
Who is now still in Marvel, but I think he's called like Black Ant or something like that. But this version, I feel like it has like a lot of the heart of the movie. I think Ant-Man is my favorite Marvel film. And so it like has that, like a little bit of the humor, a little bit of the pathos or whatever. The new Wasp is his daughter. Or she might be just Stinger, I guess, or whatever, but.
Right. She changed her name in the first issue, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, she has that costume, that Spider Girl future Stinger costume, but I don't know. I really like it. And the art is just like super great and stylized and fun. And it was a great comic.
Yes. Ant-Man, highest recommendation. And I would definitely say that if you haven't followed it so far, definitely check it out in trade if that sounds like anything that would be up your alley. It is really, 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 really well done. And I love Zeb Wells. Like,
great writer.
He's just one of my favorites. And he also has seconded me on calling the 90s the Chromium Age. I have that on record. Nice. That when I coined the term the Chromium Age, that he backed me up as that should be what the 90s is called. Nice. So I'm just saying that it when works. That goes down in history, Zeb Wells has me as he has agreed with me on Twitter that that was the correct naming for the 90s. Nice.
Yeah, I think I need to find him on Twitter and follow him.
Yeah, good dude. And that's all I got for you.
What about trades?
All I have is an hour of ranting about modern comics. Is that all? That's all we had.
And if that isn't enough for you, you've got hours of ranting about comics that came out a long time ago.
Exactly. So many.
People love that ranting about comics.
Perfect.
I don't know.
Luckily, we do it all the time.
We do it.
So thank you guys so much for making it all the way through this, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Oh, you should follow us at Coast City Comics and at Actually Comics, and you should buy things from Coast City Comics.
Yes.
And if you spend $30, you get free shipping. So why aren't you doing it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm talking to the people who aren't doing it. The people who are doing it continue to do it. I like that. Awesome.
But new people, that if this new is people, your first time listening to the rant,
yes,
go to CoastCityComics.com.
Perfect.
Find out how you can get comics from it's a great yeah.
And
hold on, don't hang up though, because I want to ask you a question about something after we're done recording.
Okay, perfect. This is going to be something terribly inappropriate, but
no I actually awesome. Might not even remember what it is.
Perfect. All right guys, thank you so much, and have a good evening. We will see you next week.
Bye.